We're made in the image of God. We're also made in the image of our parents, right? Some things were true. Some things were a mixture of truth and error, but we've all learned some things. Our belief system is not arbitrary. Our belief system is developed. It's developed by our families. It's developed by our culture. It's developed by who we listen to. It's developed by the schooling we've had. You've been discipled. Everyone's being discipled. It's just the question is, who have you been discipled by? And so much, even of American culture, I want to suggest to you, a lot of American culture has actually educated God's people into consistent unbelief. And so to truly walk as a kingdom citizen, we must be delivered. And you might not even know it's unbelief. You just say, well, that's just the way I think. Well, this is what I've been taught, or that's the way it is. So this life of faith is a challenge to cut down the trees that have already been developed. Some of those roots go quickly. Some go immediately. Others need to be rooted out. So the process of walking by faith is also a healing of your heart. Psalm 23, he restores my soul. David, original language, he has restored, he is restoring, and will continue to restore. So the restoration process is an ongoing one. Now, here's the good news. Let's call it a room. Let's call it a room. A room of everything, not only you would need of, but everything you would need to bring healing and deliverance to all the mental illness that you learned in life. Even sometimes what we think we know about God is a hindrance to living the life of faith. The things we've been taught about God sometimes are a hindrance to that. So you got this room over here where maybe part of a dreamer was taken out of you. Maybe part of a dreamer was taken out of you because you weren't affirmed as a child. Then you went to school and you were in a school system that they didn't cause you to dream. They just said, you know, live practically, live like an American, live like us. Don't dream again. You know, just be practical. You know, you get a job that makes money, you know, be practical. And there's truth sometimes in things like that. But the room's over here, but you've got this belief structure that has trees in your heart. And then maybe a word comes, or, you know, you begin to hear things, and God tells you, you know, you can do this and you can be extraordinary. What happens? All those things that God got pre-prepared, he's got the ability to sever them, to cut them out at the root. And maybe because you weren't affirmed, you have some unforgiveness that started as a child, and now it's become the root of bitterness against your own parents. And secretly, even though you spend time with them, you hate them. And so he's got to cut that one too. He's got to help you with that. So he's got to cut down those trees in that room. He's got the healing. He's got the deliverance, but he's also got the right thought process and the right affirmation that you were supposed to need. That's why he says in Matthew 18, unless you are converted like a child and repent of your sins. How did Jesus relate to the Godhead? As a father. Was he saying Proverbs? A friend sticks closer than a brother. What's he saying? If your family was really messed up, that's why the enemy fights the gathered community. Because you're supposed to create relationships that sometimes go beyond your earthly families. They fill places, they affirm, they love, they encourage. So the life of faith, God has the ability to do all that stuff, but, you know, it takes a really humble person and a bold person to live the life of faith. But that's what it means to be born again. You're not born again because you're born again because much of what you learned in your old life has very little value if you really want to do the impossible. There's some fun stuff. So what's one good example? And we'll look at a few principles of faith. We'll land the plane. But a good example to me is Moses. And let me just also say, throw this tension in there. even when you're an unbeliever, I think that God is working to put certain things inside of you. It's good with the story of Moses, right? By the way, they're trying to kill children then, you know, because the Jewish people, they're just some random people in the earth. I mean, let the elevator go to the top floor with some of these theologies. And so what does he do? His mom has a plan to save him. He grows up royalty. What's he supposed to be? A ruler. Governing authority for a nation. Grows up in royalty. And I want to suggest he probably knew he was supposed to be a leader. He had this sense of justice and liberation already on the inside of him. He sees his own people arguing one day. He goes, I just killed him. You know, kills the guy and ends up on the backside of a desert, right? Sees a bush. Probably saw lots of burning bushes because he's a shepherd. It's not the first time he saw it, but there was something about this one. He turned. One of the keys of life in God is the ability to turn. To turn when God invites you into a divine intersection. Turn. Turn. Don't hesitate. Do not. If you're going to live a fruitful life, you cannot live a life of hesitation. The people who tried to come to this meeting this morning are not here because they were trying. I'm not trying to be married. I am married. This flimsy way of living is not healthy. Turn. He sees the burning bush, right? And God gives him this extraordinary prophecy. You want a prophecy, Lord. By the way, Moses, I'm the God who hears and I'm the God who listens. I'm the God who hears, and I'm the God who listens. And I've come to deliver my people. That's a good word. Like, people would stand up, get a, you know, let me record that on the iPhone. And you're going to be my spokesperson of deliverance. And he goes, who am I that I could do this? He had some trees in his heart. They're already in there. But the word of the Lord comes not to shame you, but for you to identify those trees. So all his insecurities come to the surface. And by the way, I don't think he fully fulfilled those things. I don't think he fully overcame them. He did some awesome things, but man, I'm not saying I would have done it, but strike the rock. Now speak to the rock. He struck the rock and he missed it. No matter how much you've seen, you can still miss it. But what happens? All that stuff comes to the surface. It's an opportunity for divine exchange. So the life of faith is an opportunity often for healing of your heart. I want to suggest to you that there's been some, even in our movement, people get very accurate, life-affirming words. A lot of times, those people are still getting words and not beginning to live in the fruit of those words. Faith in God is not accepting certain things as true, but trusting and cleaving to a person. You know, there's people that's why if your conversion, and I think you can start there, if your conversion is an intellectual exercise, oh, I believe he died on a cross, he rose again, was ascended on the cross, third day. I believe that, you believe God. If it stops at an intellectual understanding, you can be talked out of that. Faith is not agreeing that something's true. Listen to me, Linda. Faith is not agreeing that something's true. Faith is not even have heard something for many years. James tells us, right? The one who hears and does not do is self-deceived. So genuine faith is cleaving to a truth. So what do we want to do? We want to develop the measure of faith that God has given us. And I want to suggest to you, often it doesn't happen overnight. I thought about this a number of years ago when I was in South Africa the first time, excited going back in 2024. And I was running one morning, and can you believe they drive on the wrong side of the road there. And so I'm running one way thinking I'll see the traffic coming. So I'm crossing the street. And at the last minute, I realized I didn't take into account they're driving on the wrong side of the road. So at the last minute, I lift my hands up and I see this. I really thought I was going to die. I was like, well, this is how stupid people die. Really, that's what I thought. Like the angel of God didn't take me home. You know, God didn't, you know, there's all that stupid stuff we make up. No, you just discounted the world you were living in. And so I wish I could tell you I screamed Jesus. I didn't. I screamed like a girl. And I thought I was going to die. And the truck bumped me. And I thought like, oh, and he looks down, has this little man still alive down there. And anyway, I lived. So I went back to my bedroom. Thankfully, I lived. Yeah. The good news is when God's hand on your life, even when you make stupid choices, even unknowingly stupid choices, God protects you. Yeah. And he redeems stupid choices. So don't beat yourself up for that. Most of us have made them. And the people who won't admit it need to repent for their pride. So, yeah. So I'm in my little room there. It was like a little like bed and breakfast type of place. And the Lord, I'm just sitting on my bed. And the Lord says, you know, if you would have died today, you would have been with me. I said, yes, yes, I believe that. Yeah, wouldn't have been such a bad deal. Never be afraid of dying if you're a believer. I think it's easier to die than to live properly in God. No, really, I've thought about that. It's like, if I die, like today, it's just, I'm going to a cross. It takes a really bold person to live correctly. I don't mean to be funny, but some people are like, they were such a hero in their final days. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I just have a different opinion on heroes. But the Lord said to me, he said, you would have been with me. He goes, why do you believe you would have been with me? Now, I grew up around the things of God. There's some really good things that were put inside of me. And went back. It was like my childhood flashed in front of me. And one of the things that they taught us at our Assembly of God Pentecostal church was to be absent from the body was to be present with God. And we, especially on Sunday nights when they still had it, we were really excited about going to heaven. And we were really excited about flying away. We really were. Like, we were going to heaven, like, yesterday. When we all, yes, we're going to heaven! You know, I think part of it was because they weren't teaching it as victoriously. Like, half the people wanted to go to heaven because their bills weren't being paid. But anyway, so, no, really. That's my experience. You're like, please get us out of here. You know, like, we're getting beat up by the devil down here. You know. What a selfish reason to want to go to heaven. But I heard it over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. So I can honestly tell you, I've never feared dying. It was a truth. So what happens? Jesus taught us that the kingdom of heaven is like a leaven. And it goes in as a seed. And when you embrace it, you got to embrace it. You have to cultivate that seed. But also, so does the kingdom of darkness. But I also want you to see how disastrous the effects are of one lie in Genesis 3. Relationships are destroyed, or there's an attempt to. Adam and Eve had never had any problems until they both believed one lie. Now their view of God is destroyed. Their view of each other, they're having relational issues. The earth is destroyed because they're governing the earth. Your belief system affects the world you're supposed to govern. So affects that world. So one lie distorts everything. So what do we want to do as people of faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. Notice that there is faith in a true word of God. So number one, you want a life of faith is a life of a relationship with God. Number two You want to consistently listen to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. I'm not mature enough to listen to much news or anything like that. I just get mad. It's not healthy for me. I got to repent, you know. So, yeah. But the Word, I like to wake up listening to the Word. I can usually listen to one message a day in just my daily activities, just brushing my teeth. Before I go to sleep at night, when I'm taking a shower, listen to the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. And then you meditate on the Word. And then you take your prophecies, take the things that God has said, but also be aware of what we just talked about. Why does that not hit me right? Why don't I believe, really believe? You have to really decide. How do you know you really believe a truth when you're willing to base your whole life on it? I'm willing to base everything I'm doing right now as it's absolutely truth from God. Not that I can't miss it, not that I'm doing it perfectly, but everything I'm doing, I'm fully convinced this is what God has called me to do. So I've gone through. I need to add a few here. Don't do it every day, because sometimes that's not what God's emphasizing, but I just take the prophetic words over my life. Lord, thank you. You've made me a brilliant teacher and writer in the body of Christ. First few times I said that, before I ever wrote a book, I'd go, I don't remember if it was me, but I know maybe it'll come up. When you said maybe in third grade, I won't be a good writer. And I never say never. And I always say, because revelation defines the boundaries of faith. Revelation, what you understand about yourself and what about God and about the Word of God, define the boundaries of your faith. I remember before I ever had anyone come work for me, I was living in this little, when I moved to Dunn, I don't know how many years, 15, 16, whatever it was, renting this little house, had my office in one, my bedroom in the other. It's a happy little man. But I needed help. So I put a chair next to my desk. I said, Lord, I thank you for bringing the right person in at the right time. Thank you for the resources. We call things, be not as though they are. We call the right person in that'll help elevate this ministry, that will take things off my hand that I need. So you want to hear, and then you want to say. Mark 11, Jesus told us, you can have what you say. You can have what you say. You can have what you say. You have what you say, whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe it's a principle in your life. You'll have what you say. I don't know if I've ever used in this example before. But I believe it's still out there. Somebody asked me for it about 5 months ago. I said, yeah, why don't you look it up? It's still out there. Great basketball player. I'm not a basketball fan. Necessarily, I don't really watch the NBA. I watch wrestling, USC. Have less and less time to watch wrestling. But anyway, you know, I've been watching my Jets play this year. But when Kobe Bryant left the earth at a very young age with a young daughter, there's a video of Tracy McGrady, who they were good friends since high school. They both came out of high school into the NBA. It was very rare at the time. And he said, well, tell us, you've known Kobe since he was 18. And he said, yeah. He said, when I first met Kobe, he said, I want to be one of the greatest ever. Did that. Second thing I want to do is I want to die young. And you can see even I don't think she's a believer. You could see her jerk back a little. She had a Pentecostal jerk and she wasn't even Pentecostal. And she said, well, he wanted to live. I said, yeah, he wanted to live. If he never renounced that, he had what he said. So you'll have what you say, whether you believe it or not. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you say in difficulty. Because the enemy is a legalist. He will bind you to the words out of your mouth. And your born again spirit, listen to me, your born again spirit has been created to say things for God on behalf of you for it to come to pass. So faith, here's some points on faith. Faith is a place of divine exchange and conversion. Faith brings us into the freedom of no longer being governed by the five senses, but from the mind of Christ. What's this whole world built on? And your senses are not bad. God's not opposed to it. He wants them sanctified, but you can't be led by your senses. This whole world system is built on what you can see, feel, or think. To make decisions on that, to react to everything that happens to you. One of the great things you see in the life of Jesus is he did not live a reactionary life. Make it your goal as a believer to not live a reactionary life. This happens. Make it your goal to not let your family determine how you live. It gets quiet with that. But one of the gifts of faith is you don't have to live that way. The danger, the death of living that way, of living according to what you can think or what you think is right or what you know. This is my question to lots of people when they're making decisions. What did God say? And I've had people give me scriptural reasons why they're doing something. And they know God has not called them to do it. They're doing really well. They're moving ahead. Person, family A, you know, family A. Family A comes cruising along, connected in the right place, thriving in the Lord, growing. Their kids are thriving. And they get a job offer. Not saying you can't get a job offer or go. We got a job offer. This other state, another company. They're going to pay us X amount, you know, more money. And then you start spiritualizing it. You know, my wife's not going to have to work, and so she can homeschool the kids. And, you know, okay, what did God say? You're plugged in here. I thought God sent you here. But, you know, they're giving me a raise. And this is my dream job. What did God say? I really like what they're asking me to do. What did God say? And God will help you when you make mistakes like that. But you got one life to live. Also, again, these things are a place of discovery. What is in my heart that's being moved towards that? Well, truth be told, I'm really offended at my boss over here. Well, I don't feel like they appreciate me. So you'll have other voices that come in. Other voices, maybe people you've been hanging out with. This job don't care about us, you know. They're using us. I'm not even saying that's not the truth, but you'll have to live above propaganda to truly live as God intends you to live. Nothing wrong with going to a job that pays you more money. But it's wrong if God didn't call you to do it. Because what? He's the God of this world. He's the ruler of that world when you want to take care of yourself. Faith anchors us in the superior world of the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We're landing the plane here. For we live by faith and not by sight. Your heart was created to learn about God and to have great joy when you see the manifestation of your life of faith. What does he say? Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire realized is a tree of life. There's a joy that's supposed to come when you're like, man, I never thought I could do that, but I did that with God's help. So many testimonies in my life are like, oh, how are we going to do that? Faith in God. Faith in God. And when you live by faith, it's your job to obey, your job to declare, but it's God's job to do it. Faith is God's gift to us to understand the world. Faith is choosing to have a high view of God. I don't know if you realize this, but unknowingly, you might be living as a believer and telling God he's a liar. I don't believe you. I don't believe you about that. I don't really believe you about that. Every time we choose to go, no, you're telling him he's a liar. I don't think you can do it like that for me. And usually somewhere in that thinking and somewhere where we want to, even as believers, control some aspect of our life is victim thinking. Well, it hasn't happened yet, so I'm just going to try and make it work for myself. So faith is choosing to have a high view of God. Why does God give you faith? So you can do all things. So you can do the impossible. With men, this is impossible. With the world, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Two last statements here. God expects your measure of faith to grow. You're the one who's going to choose what you do with it. Definitely, I've probably said this here. Ronnie, I don't know if you know this, but I have the body of a bodybuilder. Got the same biceps, triceps, shoulders. What's the difference between me and a bodybuilder? He's developed it. I worked out this morning. Just not like a, yeah. Do you know, and when you first start living correctly, because we all got trees. Your trees might be different than mine. Do you know how I started trusting God every 30 minutes. Because you're like, all right, the word says, the teaching taught me, you cast all your burden upon the Lord, right? And I'm trusting you, and I've got to confess the word. Okay, confess the word this morning. And then that little, woo, you should worry. What are you going to do? Tomorrow that's going to happen. Casting every vain imagination against the high thing that is also... Okay, I did it. Oh, you feel at rest. 45 minutes later, what are you going to do? Yeah. You're very irresponsible. You know, you should take responsibility for, you know. And then I heard that voice of a well-meaning elder of a church I worked at. He goes, you should probably get a job. Let's work in the ministry, you know. All these things. And by the way, a lot of times when people try and talk you out of the life of faith, some of it's actually good advice if you hadn't heard the voice of God. Like, I remember a few times people have told me, I think you should do this, and you know, I think you should do this, and I think this would really help you. And I was like, that all sounds really great. That's not what God has told me to do, though. Yeah. Now, don't spiritualize doing stupid things. Well, the Lord told me. I've had that. That's like the worst. I filtered things through. I mean, there was less risk as a single man, but I filtered things through. No, there really is. If it all crashed, I was the only one who was going to crash, you know. But really, I've gone so far down this thing, there is no plan B. I like living that way. It's not like I got like a business on the side. If everything collapsed tomorrow, like, oh, you know, just it'll work out, you know. I've only done one thing as an adult. Been on airplanes, cars, preaching, under trees, 30 people, 100 people, 300 people, 1,000 people, 15 people. When they told me they had 120 people. I've realized I got a little older. I've lived a very different life. I don't have plan B, though. I didn't have plan B in my life. I still haven't found in Scripture. And it's good advice. I think it's good advice. You should have three streams of income. Right. That's good advice, but I still haven't found it in the Bible. But I have found people getting mad at me for teaching what's in the Bible. Instead of spending $1,000 on a life coach that you don't need, sow $1,000. No, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to be practical with our money. So God expects your measure of faith to grow. And I want to close with this. Here's a faith objective. Verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Now also I love what Jesus says to James. I'm a seer. I do. I see. It's a very common thing in my life. I see, I feel, I sense rooms. I know when people are upset. I know when people are, you know, their chains are being jerked because I'm saying things. But Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, blessed are those who never see but believe." Blessed are those, who never see and believe. And he tells him, "For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, he do this, and he does that." When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now later, he'll tell this guy he's got great faith. But I'm still amazed that the perfect Son of God, and he's still God there, by the way. He never stops being God. It was a real discussion among church fathers. Like, did he stop being God? Did he have like a button he hit? Like, no, really. It's like they wrestled with these ideas. The conclusion was he's fully God, fully man, choosing to live as a man, but never denying his divinity. That's think about the choice that he had. You're like, I'm concerned, God. I just really feel like God called me to do this, but I'm not sure. Like, his choice was sitting in a synagogue, teaching people who are rejecting what he's saying, and he wrote the book that they're using against him. And he knows he's going to die for people who don't want anything to do with him. That's real power. That's real humility. You're like, I'm just having trouble forgiving my uncle, you know, it's really hard. You got to think of these things in light of what Jesus did as our example. But he tells a centurion man, "You have great faith." When I read that many years ago, New King James says, "Marveled." Jesus, help me make you marvel at my choice to trust you. And he said to those who follow, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Verse 13, "Go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you." I want you to see also the power of personal faith. When Jesus came, his messages were not to this demographic of people. He came to the Jew. When he came, he released his disciples, later apostles, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you see the power of faith in God. "Jesus, I realize this message wasn't necessary for me, but I choose to believe you're the Messiah. And because of that, his belief system shifted what happened in the world. We must have and develop belief systems that change the world.